be seated. I'll wait for Paul to wave if everything's okay. Great. We began our Canada Day service today with a video reminding us about the stunning physical beauty of this country in which we're blessed to dwell. But I think even more beautiful are the people when we're at our best. And I'd like to start today's reflection looking at short videos of two beautiful Canadians who've passed into eternal life since Canada Day last year. The first video is of a tireless, passionate advocate for a world in which we all care for one another. Harry Leslie Smith, a Yorkshireman by birth, moved to Canada in 1953. Let's watch this short video about him.
I am Harry Leslie Smith. I am the world's oldest rebel. My skin is not a very indication of what the kind of job you did before you came here. You are now Canadian.
Harry Leslie Smith passed into eternal life a few short months after this video was filmed at the age of 95. The next video is of Jean Vanier. And this is, of course, a man who needs no introduction. This was something that was a video that was put together for Canada's 150th birthday. And let's watch this now together.
We're in a culture where power and beauty and capacity have value, and those who are less capable or apparently have less gifts should be got rid of. So this is a part of a culture of force, of individual success, each one going up the ladder as high as they can go, and promotion and money and all this sort of stuff. It's all got mucked up because there's a culture which is saying that I have to be more powerful than my neighbor. And being more powerful than my neighbor, I don't learn to share it with people. I learn to be above them. So the secular world is a world where there can be a danger of forgetting the we, that we're part of a family. How could this change? The question will always be how to lose power. So spirituality then is about getting close to people who've been rejected. It's breaking down the wall that separates the rich and the poor. But there's something else. It's a meeting. And a meeting implies that I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We're just children of God. It's a movement of going down, not believing in power and in promotion. When somebody meets me in the depth of my being, where I don't have to pretend that I'm better than others, is a liberation. A liberation to be myself. There's only one thing that really matters. Relationship. To love me. To love me as I am. And so, that is a place of revelation. Somewhere the discovery that we can meet. Without any ladders, and I receive your gift, you receive my gift. So there's something that happens, a moment of communion, a moment of joy. And that's where fundamentally joy is. When we meet people, not above them, not below them, as children of God.
I could just say amen and leave. Very tempting to do that. But I am going to inflict myself on you for a few more minutes here. This is Canada at its most beautiful. Today's passages from Holy Scripture, which were chosen for Canada Day, remind us that as Christians, we can contribute greatly to making our nation, and indeed our whole world, a more beautiful place. Our passages are about three relationships. Relationships, a relationship with God, with one another, and the whole world. So first, we look at our relationship with God. In Colossians, it says that it is written to God's picked representatives of the new humanity, purified and beloved of God himself. Written to those who are set apart for God, who are loved by God. And Jesus speaks about this love when he says, "There is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends." There's no way that the disciples could have heard those words and not realized that Jesus was telling them that he loved them enough to lay down his life for them. Jesus laid down his life for us so that we may have his life within us. We enter into a relationship with him that begins now and never ends. And so we have a relationship with God in our passages, and that leads to relationship with one another. That passage from Colossians continues, "As therefore God's picked representatives of the new humanity, purified and beloved of God himself, be merciful in action, kindly in heart, humble in mind. Accept life and be most patient and tolerant with one another." The NRSV translates this passage, "Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." C.F.D. Moll, writing about this passage, says, "We not only have Christ's example, but we have the new character given to us as God's free gift, an endowment put on like a garment. As we abide in Jesus, we have his life within us, and his character is being formed within us." A little bit further on, the passage says, "Above everything else, be truly loving, for love is the golden chain of all the virtues." NRSV says, "Love binds everything together in perfect harmony." John Ruhman, commenting on this, says, "It's almost like a sweater on top of everything." I can think of an example that hits home more for me, and that's that at present the bandaging for my feet has a bunch of different kind of layers, and then there's a layer of foam put over top that helps keep everything together. And as long as that foam is in place, everything else stays in place. But if that's out of place, then the other stuff gets out of place as well. So if I were going to write this to myself, I might say that love is like that foam that keeps everything in place. Jesus says in our gospel, "This is my commandment, that you love each other as I have loved you." And then the passage ends with the words, "This I command you, love one another." In fact, the better way really to translate that last bit is, "I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." In other words, the bottom line of what's important to Jesus, we don't need to speculate about. He has said that what is the bottom line for him is love, that we love one another as he has loved us. And our passage from Colossians, as I'm sure you noticed, contains within it components of love's being lived out in Christian community. What does it look like to live out love? Well, Colossians goes into more detail. And so it mentions, for example, forgiveness. Always be ready to forgive, it says, if you have a difference with anyone. Forgive as freely as the Lord has forgiven you. Be most patient and tolerant with one another. Notice how much this is underlined for us in Scripture. We have the Lord's Prayer, of course, where we say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Or in Matthew, we have a whole section in Matthew 18 specifically devoted to forgiving one another. Now, there's no place for unforgiveness. It imprisons us, and it blocks our ability to receive and to share love. And this is related to the next component, which is peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, it says. Clinton Arnold, commenting on this, points out that the Greek word brabuo is a metaphor that comes from the athletic games, where an official would serve as an umpire in judging a conflict. So it says, let this peace be like an umpire in your hearts. And I'm sure you've experienced it too. I have in my heart an inner peace when I'm on the right track. And when I'm off that track, it doesn't matter how I try and special plead and, you know, act as if I don't know what I do know, I can't get that peace if I'm deliberately going against what God has shown me to do. So if I don't want to forgive, if I want to hold on to a grudge, for example, I can try and say, well, I could do this and it's right for me. But I know inside that peace is saying to me, let that go. You're going down the wrong track. You need to get back right again. And so we have that peace to rule in our hearts that gives us that guidance. And then it says, remember that as members of the same body, you are called to live in harmony. Outer peace is also part of our witness, peace between us. Last week, we had the Feast of Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. And one of the ways that those words are used in Scripture, one of the ways is to say that we are the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And as Jesus' body, we can bear witness to the wider world of true unity. Where that comes from. True unity does not come from uniformity. That is a false unity. If we all look at things the same, if we all have the same understanding, all we're really doing is being at peace with ourselves. That's all we're saying, is that I can be at peace with somebody that looks at things the way I do. Well, you know, so what? True peace and the true witness of unity is that we can be united even when we disagree over things that both of us agree are very crucial, very important. And our world desperately needs to see that. We have this opportunity to show a unity that is not all one note, but instead is like an orchestra playing music for the world. And there's where that inner peace and outer peace analogy can be changed slightly to having an instrument that's in tune itself, but also you want to be in tune with one another. And when we do that, it's beautiful music that's played. And the next part of the passage talks about gratitude. And here we start to get into relationship, not just with God, not just with one another, but the third, which is relationship with the whole world, as we've already begun to reflect. We have peace that shows a unity that it bears witness. We also show the world by our gratitude. At 8:30, I said there's an attitude of gratitude isn't just a platitude, and then I apologized profusely. But obviously, I didn't learn my lesson because I've just said it again. But we are called to be those who live thankful lives. It says, never forget to be thankful for what God has done for you. With your psalms and hymns and Christian songs, singing God's praises with joyful hearts. And as we have a life filled with thanksgiving for the gift of life, for each other, all gifts given to share, well, that is something that touches the whole world. And as we live out love, forgiving, living in peace, living in gratitude, we show the world the way life is meant to be lived. We're an example of light shining in the midst of much darkness. But we're not just showing the world God's love by demonstrating how to love one another in our example of Christian community. We're also showing the world God's love by loving each person in the world with this love ourselves. Jesus said, it's not that you have chosen me, but it's I who have chosen you. I have appointed you to go and bear fruit that will be lasting, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Sounds very similar to what it says in Colossians. Whatever you may have to do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acting in the name of Jesus means relying on Jesus' credentials and authority, not ours. But we also act as his representative, as his agent. Somebody should be able to look at us and how we act and say, I can see Jesus acting that way. We are called to embody the love of God and so live our lives that our Lord Jesus is acting through us as his hands and feet. As Jesus' agent, we bear the fruit that comes from having his own life within us, fruit that will last. For, as 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never fails. It is eternal. And the impact of living like this is indeed something that goes on and gets deeper more and more as we live a life of love. We're going to watch a couple of little clips that show that impact. Let's watch the first one now.
Four residents like Amanda Winnington Ingram live, work, and learn side by side with assistance, belonging to a community and bringing diverse people together. Winnington Ingram has lived here since 2005 and speaks for many others who have lost their special friend.
I really, really miss him a lot in my heart. Because he is in my heart, he's inside him. Because I love him.
And speaking about Jean Vanier and the impact in her life, and when we share heart to heart, it has that that impact that goes on and endures. Once again, speaking of hearts, a different spelling. It was just a reminder on their Facebook page of that friendship and that continuing sharing heart to heart with the Al-Jabawi family that makes such a difference. And it's a difference one-on-one, but there's also a ripple effect, as this final video today in the reflection shows.
Our story begins with the Vietnam War. She sacrificed everything. It was stormy and waves were rough. We were able to make it. to Malaysia, to the refugee camp. It's nauseating and suffocating. It felt endless. When we finally were accepted to Canada, was the turning point in our lives. When we arrived through the gates, we were overwhelmed with joy. At that moment, a little girl came up and she presented a doll. This doll represents the kindness and generosity and so many helped bring us to Canada.
I think some of us have this innate desire to make the world just a little bit better, one person at a time, or to help people have a better life. And so it just that kind of volunteer or response just comes naturally to some.
Well, it didn't really matter whether they knew it or not. We knew right away, and through the media, perhaps, all the troubles they went through. So immediately, you know, we got involved, and we knew that was our responsibility as a good citizen.
We just knew that there was a mom with several children that needed help.
For her, more likely, she thought that, well, I have no choice. I just can't imagine doing that.
I think Mrs. Trennan has affected our community. She has enriched our lives thousands of times over. She's given us a reason to go on and be volunteers, to be supportive of other communities and other refugees.
This group of amazing individuals have become our family, and we've grown together over the past 38 years. I think the single act of kindness will create a ripple, because when you show kindness, you will receive kindness in return, and it continues on from generation to generation.
Sponsor, doctor, no, the sponsor che sono giunto in Canada, ma non ha una vita migliore. Quando vedo i miei figli che vanno alla scuola, sento che il futuro si apre.
This baby will have all the hopes and opportunities that every Canadian child has. There's very few moments in life where it can hit you that hard that you have actually changed the course of someone's life.
I think that kind of volunteering is like a vocation to take care of each other. That's the best thing we have on this planet.
I wish the world would open up and open their eyes and see what we have been doing to help the refugees. And we have done just a little part of it as an example. And I hope this will continue in the future. Because look, those people need help.
I think it's makes my heart dance. To think that we had some small part in being able to help this number of people.
One of the parts of that really hit home was the little doll that the child had given to her, and she still has that doll 38 years later. Young, old, whatever our circumstances, Each of us as disciples is filled with the risen life of our Lord, and thus has the incredible privilege, the joy, of bearing fruit that feeds a hungry world, fruit that will last, making a difference in lives forever. Anglican Bishop C. Venn Pilcher understood this. I'm going to end this Canada Day reflection with the alternate closing verse to O Canada that he penned for the 1938 Book of Common Praise. O Canada, our land, our pride, our love, high be thine aim, all selfish aims above. Thy maple leaves, blood red, recall Christ's cross of costly pain. Thy golden sheaves made bread for all, his life whose death was gain. Thine be this mind, God's prize to find, following Christ to serve all humankind, following Christ to serve all humankind. May we all fulfill our call as disciples to add by our lives to the beauty of our beloved country, of Canada, and all our beloved world, for now and for all eternity. Amen.